RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Now, here's your host, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy.
All right, we are back with another edition of the Valor Hour, and it is fight week. Once again, it is Valor 50 coming up this weekend, and we're going to get into a lot more of that kind of talk. I'm Tim Loy, president of Valor Fights. I am joined by our new co-host, one of the best PR guys in the business, Mr. Ed Kapp. Ed, thanks for joining us, and thanks for jumping on board with the Valor Hour, man. I know a lot of our listeners out there probably aren't familiar with you necessarily just yet. I know I can tell them that Ed sets up a lot of pretty much all of our media and runs our social media, does the same for some other promotions, and is also an agent with Iridium and handles a lot of pro fighter management as well. So, Ed, welcome aboard.
Man, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to finally appear as a co-host, no less. What an honor.
Yes. We'll have a lot of fun. We've got some good interviews lined up tonight. Of course, we'll be talking to four different people. We'll be talking to the first interview we'll be getting to here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking to Frankie Padilla. He's going to be making his debut in MMA here this weekend. And then after that, we'll talk to both halves of our 135 championship fight, Javier Carvajal and Chase Boutwell. And then we'll also meet our new ring announcer, Van Hickman. All that coming up a little bit later, as well as our picks panel, which will be our main event for Valor 50. Once again, that is coming up this weekend, and that is going to be Saturday, June the 9th at the International in Knoxville. We'll get into a lot more of that. I've got a couple co-hosts in the mothership with us tonight. They're also members of the picks panel, so they'll be with us all night. We got Mark Laws and Alan Poole in the house. How's it going, guys?
What's up? Doing great, man.
And, of course, we'll be joined a little bit later by the rest of the pick panel, Billy Swanson, Jeff Hobbs, and Sawyer Rich. But, now that we've got this ball rolling here tonight, before we get into the interviews and whatnot, we've got our weekly conversation topics, Ed, that our viewers, our listeners, our fans submit to us to kind of go over. So I'll kick it over to you to kind of intro those.
So, guys, weight cutting has turned into one of the biggest stories of 2018 in the mixed martial arts world. Do you have any big ideas as to help ensure that fighters are coming in on weight and healthy more consistently than we're seeing right now in the UFC and Bellator?
You know, I don't know that there's a perfect answer for that. I'll defer to Mark. You know, Mark, honestly, he is around it a lot more. He helps guys with weight cutting and rehydrating after weigh-ins and whatnot. From my end of things, in a perfect world, everyone can afford a nutritionist and get, you know, they can have the proper scientific way and diet of doing things, but ultimately that's just not how it is. So I'll turn it over to Mark.
Well, I mean, as a professional athlete, you're expected to make the weight just like you're expected to follow through on the contracts that are made, you know, months in advance. And ultimately, I don't think it's part of the system. I think it's up to the individual. And ultimately what you're saying is at the end of the day is lack of discipline. I hate to put that on people that already have that much stress on them anyway, as fighters do, but at the end of the day, you know, you see these collegiate wrestlers making that weight 20, 30 times per 6 months, you know, and they hit it consistently, and it just takes discipline and it takes hard work. And unfortunately, you see these guys coming in repeatedly missing weight, and that should never happen. You know, if you miss once or twice, or that can happen, but you know, you got people like Mackenzie Dern missing by 7 pounds. You got, you know, Johnny Hendricks missing multiple times. All these things are, you know, that's what gets these early weigh-ins taken away. And ultimately, I don't think they're the cause of it. It's ultimately comes down to the individual. That's my thought.
You know, one thing that might work is to enforce, if all of your athletic commissions essentially enforced some sort of statute where if you miss weight more than one time, then you can no longer compete in that weight class anymore. And so guys get booted up, forced up to another weight class. They can't make the one that they're signing up for. That may be a deterrent. I don't know. But
what's the worst weight cut you guys seen in person?
The worst I've ever seen in person. I've seen guys literally need to be carried up there where they couldn't even stand. You know, they couldn't stand on the scale barely, you know, by themselves. it's been a minute since I've seen one like that. You know, we've had guys come in, make the weight, and then end up getting carted off to the ER with dehydration. You seen anything worse than that, Mark?
I mean, we've had some crazy ones. Not so distant past, I guess Adam Townsend kind of sticks out up in Atlantic City. He was the second time he was up there for Ring of Combat. That was a pretty nasty one. You know, we've seen it across the board. You know, it's not fighter specific. You know, it can happen to anyone any day, unfortunately.
Did anyone here shellowed $30 for the bare knuckle boxing card the other night?
I did not. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Honestly, I wasn't even at home. I was on a date night with a wife, so I wasn't even in a situation to watch it. But I heard it was somewhat decent, I guess. I'm on the fence on it. I'm sure you didn't pay for it, did you?
Negative.
Alan, I sure did. Did you get the bare knuckle boxing
pay? No, I was not aware of it until it was too late.
Okay.
I was working.
What about you, Ed?
No, that's a little bit out of my price bracket.
Yeah, that's a tough price point for the first one.
How much was it?
$30.
We've been seeing a lot of comebacks lately in the UFC. Talks of Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz lately. Who's one fighter from the Valor Fight system who you'd personally like to see back in action in 2018?
Oh, that's an easy one. That's a real easy one because there's some little just things starting to flutter around already with it. But I would say Tyler Mealy-Mitten. Tyler Mealy-Mitten is a guy that, you know, he's fought for us multiple times. Is now one of the, you know, top nutritionists in the world, especially in the world of mixed martial arts, with guys like Daniel Cormier and just top-notch guys under his wing. So I think it'd be really cool to see him get back in the cage. It's been a few years.
Mark, who's your pick for that?
Man, there's so many. Yeah, of course. I wish we could draft Luis Pena back, of course. Yeah. But I think he's gone to the stars now. But Tyler Mitten, that's a huge one for sure. You know, I'd like to see Adam compete one more time. Probably, I think he'd fare pretty well, even though he's about 50 pounds heavier now. But and Amy Coleman, Amy Coleman would be fun. I don't know. There's a lot of people that come through the organization I'd love to see again.
Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz the third. How much did you pay for this fight, if anything? Speaking of price points for pay per view,
I feel like that one I would want to hopefully get for free. Yeah, I feel like I would definitely watch it. You know, on Paramount. You know, I'd tune in, but I mean, yeah, I don't know that they could put together a card underneath it. I mean, I'm not saying they can't. They'd really have to put together a card underneath it to get me to shell out, you know, a pay-per-view.
Mark, would you pay like $12 to see that?
No. I would work it if they asked me really nicely, but that's about the only way I'd be able to see it is cage side. Other than that, no, I can't shell it out for what I feel is two guys that are past their prime point that shouldn't be fighting still for health reasons.
Final question. Most boring UFC champion, in your opinion, who is it?
Most boring?
Yeah, the guy who you're least excited about.
Probably Woodley.
Oh, girl. Guy or girl.
I'd say Woodley. I don't really get up for his spot. I'm not like not. It's not that I don't like him at all, but like I don't like I find, you know, if he's in the main event of something, I'm not really stoked so much. It doesn't pique my interest so much is, you know, the guys like, you know, a Max Holloway or a Conor McGregor or, you know, just those more marquee names.
Mark?
Listen, as much as I hate to say it, I don't enjoy watching Demetrius Johnson fight all that much. It's pretty unassuming to me and pretty, it's very impressive with the flashiness and how fast it is, but I just, me being a bigger guy, just can't appreciate it as much as probably needs to be appreciated to enjoy it.
Guys, it's everything I got for you.
Okay, now it is time to get rolling on our interview segment. Our first one up tonight, Frankie, the OG Frankie Padilla, fighting out of KMAA, getting ready to make his MMA debut this weekend on Valor 50, going down Saturday, June the 9th. He'll be taking on Sam McAlpin. Frankie, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, my friends. My pleasure. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. So it's been, you know, we've talked to you on the podcast before. Generally,
from the other side of the cage, you're generally known for helping the athletes in your camp and under KMAA's wing get their selves in the top physical condition that they can possibly be. At their their bodies are well-oiled machines, but now you're going to step in yourself. Talk a little bit about the decision to jump in there and give this thing a try. I mean, you're not certainly not to throw shade, but you're not a spring chicken, so you're getting a little bit of a later start than what a lot of guys do. Talk a little bit about the decision and the process of saying, hey, I'm going to jump in here and give this thing a shot.
Well, it's a funny story. Most of you all know I come from Los Angeles, and I've been in Tennessee for about, I'd say, 16 or 17 years. Back in my younger years, I worked in Redondo Beach, California, and Hermosa, California, with a Gold's Gym and other fitness facilities out there. And I did personal training. I did personal training since I was about 17 years old. But I kind of grew up in the industry, in the MMA industry back in the day, when it was shoot fighting, with some names from the UFC that were good friends of mine, John the Bull Marsh, Rico Rodriguez, some of the older names from back in the day. These guys were guys that I just kicked around with every day. The Machados, the Gracies, this was back when I was in my low 20s. I was exposed to it, but never, took a real, I just didn't take anything to the next level. It was just more of a kind of a fun thing, this is who I hang out, man. This is my posse. These guys are all ballers and bruisers and junk. So back in the day, I was just too young to really, acclimate into something that would have developed into a career. So I stuck with the personal training and the coaching, and so from that point back then, traveling out to Knoxville and getting back into the personal training out here and meeting a lot of new faces and new friends. And then Jason walks in the door, and you guys kind of know the story about that. He was the first one to try me out for S&C, and then it was just kind of an avalanche after that of athletes that just fell in on top of us, enough so that we had to, incorporate Jason and his, expertise into the coaching staff. And then my daughter Chloe, and now Taylor Turner is also on board. And I mean, I think we got about, 16 or 17 athletes that we're training. But getting back to the whole what and why, I watch this every day. I see these guys, performing and doing, fantastic feats and knockouts and showing how super conditioned they are. And then I look back at myself, I'm like, damn, man, I could have been doing this 20 years ago and a name for myself. And yeah, so anyways, I've just been watching and paying attention, and started visiting over at KMA because it was really important that I got to see hands-on what these guys do in their day-to-day training, just so I can develop, workout programs around it. We're not just hearing what their game plan is, actually, feeling it and playing with it and actually getting thrown to the ground with it. So, it just got to the point of I got to show these young bucks, that the old man still got it. And I figured that why not do it here in Knoxville? This could be a one and done, or shit, I might catch the bug and jump back in the cage, several times, So I really don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you the main factor in all of this is, I'm a bruiser, man. I love to fight. It's just one of those things that's always, been in my system. I played middle linebacker in college, and it was just one of those things. I like to put my hands on people and get dirty, and I take orders well from coaches, and I work well with the team, so it just fits, man. So I'm gonna get in there, and I'm gonna do my dirty and show these fools that Mr. Padilla can still get up and move around.
So what's it been like going through this camp essentially with, you've also got Jason King obviously on the card, Channy Young is on the card as well. What's it been like kind of joining these guys side by side as you prepare to go to battle together versus being the one? I mean, are you still the one cracking the whip? How does that dynamic work?
Man, you gave me chills up and down my arms, man. It's like the team atmosphere has always been there. You know, it's always, you know, preparing one of the fighters for a fight, and then, you know, come weigh-ins, come, you know, walking down the aisle into the cage, you know, with the music and all that junk, you know, it about brings a heart attack. You know, you feel nervous, you feel excited, you feel everything. And then, you know, win or lose, you got to deal with the aftermath of, you know, either a win or a loss, you know. So now it's like I'm in the trenches again, but, you know, I'm actually getting to swing a hammer. You know, I'm actually getting to, you know, put my hands on somebody and get involved, get a little bit dirty instead of sitting on the sidelines like I have in the past, you know. The closest to getting my hands dirty was up in New York when I got to, you know, stand in the center of Madison Square Garden with Ole Vince. You know, that was one of the pivotal, most awesome points in my life that brought me to the yes, I want to get my hands dirty again. So, yeah, it is absolutely still me cracking the whip. You know, I've got every one of the folks that I train, all the athletes that are under my guys are under my watch are still being trained by me. I kind of broke off and I do my own strength and conditioning because I don't want to slow them down because, you know, these guys have been training with me for, you know, some of them for 2 years. And, you know, me jumping in and on the tail of one, I'm just going to tell you, bro. Some of this stuff feels like it's going to give me a heart attack at times. Oh, man, I got to push forward. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, I'm still coach. You know, I still run with Eric and Joey over at KMA. We still, you know, put game plans together and all that junk. But this time I'm able to get in the trenches and to work.
If everything was perfectly for you on Saturday, how would it go?
Well, if everything goes perfect for me Saturday, it's going to last longer than 10 seconds. Perfectly for me is I'm able to get out there and just perform and enjoy this shit because it's like, man, you get so washed into, man, you got to get out there and you got to put them down. You got to take them out. You got to do whatever. Man, my coaches, you know what they tell me? Hey, don't shit yourself and keep your hands up. Have fun. I'm like, yeah, really? That's my game plan. Is you want me to just get in there and freaking enjoy myself and don't make a mess? Well, I think I can do that.
I can second that much. Alan, go ahead.
Oh, hey, what's up, Frankie? This is Alan. Hey, what's so up? Yeah, of course. You know, thank you for allowing me in there and creeping up on all your athletes that I take pictures of.
Creepy family. You're the creepy family member.
Oh yeah, my creepy. Yeah, I don't know why you guys put up with me. I don't know what. I just like some weird guy with a red afro and a hat walking around. That
yeah, you look like Carrot Top.
Well, so I again, you know, thank you for allowing me to take pictures and stuff. But like, I have to know: is there a difference between like regular people training and what I see you guys doing with the super athletes, like with the events, because it looks like a torture camp. So is it any different? I'm thankful for the torture camp because it gives great pictures, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's very different. I mean, it's between just say, let's a homemaker or you know, a stay at home mom or stay at home dad. You know, let's say taking them through a workout is going to be as different, you know, training the fighters as it would be training a football player and the fighters. It's just not the same, man. You know, you develop, you know, pathways of motion, you know, differently. You have to really learn, you know, what their max potential is. You know, you have to find out how to push to the max potential. You need to find out their rate of recovery, you know, the active recovery. It's a hell of a lot different because it's more mental than anything. And I think you've seen a few times, Alan, when they should quit and they don't. And the reason they don't is, well, one is I'm think I'm a pretty damn good coach. But number two is these athletes want more, and they know in order to get to the next level, it's not stopping when you're dead. It's moving. It's continuing to, as Slick Nick Gertz says, it's making touches. You know, it's just it's keeping the hands moving. It's going forward. You know, because if you don't have the mentality to be able to break through to the next level of, you know, of pain and of just wanting to quit, you know, then you ain't gonna make it. And that's one of the things I pride myself and my crew on is, damn it, you know, they all push forward. You know, they all take orders, they all listen, and they all follow the leader. They listen to the coaches. You know, we've got some of the best in the industry on the MMA side with Eric and Joey, and then on this side over here, we've got some of the best in the industry on the S&C. So to answer your question, yeah, man, it's completely different. This style of training is not something that you would just train just, you know, any random fool off the street. I mean, it is something that is specifically designed to break you. And if you don't break, well, guess what? We go and we try it again. We keep trying to break them.
That's what I thought.
Well, Frankie, we're definitely excited for this weekend. One of the fights that I'm looking forward to the most. You're fighting a real, real good guy also in Sam McAlpin, who's, you know, getting ready to.
Don't tell me that.
I mean, he is a straight asshole, actually.
Perfect.
He deserves everything he's got coming to him. No. All right, Sam's a good guy. Both you guys are good guys. And that said, we're really excited for, you know, to see you have that debut. To be able to host it is an honor, truly. And, you know, just really excited to see what you churn out as well as far as your athletes. You know, see how Jason and Shannon perform. I'm excited to see how you've got them tuned up as well. I want to give you a chance to give some shout-outs where they're due. If you got any love you want to spread around, that's your chance.
Well, first and foremost, I always give, you know, love to God, because God, without God, none of this happens. And on the second note is my family, my wife. You know, she's putting up with a bunch of crap with this over the hill guy. You know, trying to get his crap back. You know, so he can, you know, put the hurt on somebody again. And my wife has been very supportive. All the way back to KMAA, that, you know, they have, you know, brought this lonely soldier back in, you know, into the war, and he's enjoying every freaking minute of it. And guess what, man? Since I started over at KMA, I've lost 30 something pounds, man. And this was back in, back since I've been over there. So KMA was actually something that has really brought my health back around. FBS Combat, Jason King, O'Vince, Shanna, everybody. I mean, there's so many people to even name, man. So back to you guys. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, you know, to get out there and, you know, handle my business again. And I'm just thankful for everything. You know, we have a great business. We've got a great connection through, like I said, KMAA and through y'all. And, you know, let's make some memories. What do y'all think?
Can't wait for it, my man. Once again, this has been Frankie Padilla. He makes his MMA debut this Saturday, June the 9th at Valor Fights 50 downtown Knoxville at the International. He'll be taking on Sam McAlpin, and he'll also be in the corner, I'm sure, of some of our pro athletes later in the night. Frankie runs Frankie's Body Shop and Conditioning and Broadway in Knoxville. Be sure to check him out. First rate all the way. Once again, Frankie Padilla, thanks for the time.
Cheers, brother.
All right, next on the line, it is our reigning and defending Valor Fights Bantamweight champion, Chase Boutwell. He is coming in with a record of 7-1 after just debuting last year at the age of 18. He has already had 8 fights, national champion for UMAF, gone on to the Worlds, done all kinds of great shit, and now he is coming back to the Valor Cage to defend that strap against Javier Carbajal. Chase, thank you for joining us, man. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. I appreciate it, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to catch back up with you. It's been a while since we've spoken. Since the last time we've chatted, you have, you won the national championship with UMAF here, sure. Went on overseas to compete in the Worlds for IMAF. You had a victory there over a very experienced guy from England. Before we get into talking about the title defense this weekend, talk a little bit about that experience and just, the overall experience of going to Bahrain and competing against just a huge, large
large field of literally world-class competition?
Yeah, man, it was totally different, something I've never seen before in my life. What was really cool was just seeing all the different types of way people fight from different countries. You can really tell what, like, people from Kazakhstan, when you see them warm up, they throw certain things, like their boxing style, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And you look at somebody from England, and it's totally different. Like, and everybody on the team kind of does the same thing. So seeing that was pretty cool. And then just the level of competition. Like, I feel like a lot of those guys were pro level. So it was a good gauge. You know, the guy that beat me got second. So I'm kind of looking forward to going back and seeing what I can do.
So speaking of which, you've already qualified yet again for this year's IMAF World. So congratulations again on
Thank
that.
You.
That is awesome, and certainly proud of you. And you know, as you said, the competition there is literally just on a whole nother level, and it's just different looks than what you've seen. And I've said to a lot of people, you know, hey, you know, chase the guy that's 19 years old, but he's already gotten such world level experience. Would you say that you know, this whole process over the past year and a half and going into this year will have you fast track to turn professional much earlier than not?
I believe so. Like I said, after I go to Bahrain for the second time, we'll probably be looking to turn pro. And if that, and that's a big maybe, I don't know if it's going to work out yet. We still got to get the whole process going, which is kind of long to go overseas and stuff, but we'll see, man. But I definitely think the pro turn's coming up.
Yeah, I think you know, you're a guy already that, you know, you're not an easy guy to match. You know, got a lot of guys, you know, they look you up and they're not really interested in that. But you've got a game opponent here coming up this weekend. You got Javier Carvajal waiting for you. He's undefeated at 2-0 with a pretty solid wrestling background. You know, he's wrestled his whole life and including the collegiate level. He hasn't had to show too many other facets of his game besides that up till now, because he really hasn't had to. Talk about this matchup, and does his wrestling concern you? Is there any concern that you may get held down in two of the three rounds and not be able to, you know, to get off what you want to do?
Yeah, not entirely, because MMA wrestling is a little bit different than actual mat wrestling, I call it, but not too worried, because everybody I train with is bigger than me, and so if I can get up from them, you know, and everybody in my gym here is a pretty good wrestler, just from what Bubby's taught us. You know, he's got pretty good wrestling pedigree also. But I'm not too worried about getting held down. If I'm on my back, I'm looking for submissions. So he's never going to have a solidified position if he's on top, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is a major step up in competition for him. So I think, for him to be able to implement that same game plan on you versus his prior competition will certainly be a test. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out, man. Speaking of your training, you know, you train an American Top Team in Macon there, Rush MMA with Bubby Mitchell, great team, like just a team full of studs. Who's some of the guys that have been getting you, primed for this?
Mostly Lathan Lawson. He's actually held past me while he's at his work, which is pretty cool. But, I train every morning now, and I've got more of a training schedule, which I really like. So I feel totally different from the last time you guys saw me, which is about a year ago. And I've gotten a little bit bigger, too. You guys will see when at weigh-ins, I've done nothing but strength and conditioning. I got a new coach for that. So that's been working out well.
That'll work out great. Hey, this is Alan Poole, by the way. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, so Mark Laws is here with us, and he loves to feel guys' muscles. So, I'm just saying, you know, when he may feel your biceps while he's putting on that Vaseline on your eyebrows. I'm just warning you.
I won't hold it against him.
Okay, no, my question was, so are you still dating the same girl?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sweet. All right, so did she go to Bahrain with you?
No, only my dad and my coach went with me.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, like how in the – okay, damn, that would have been so funny to hear stories about. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
What did you eat? Did you live in like in a hut or something?
No, they actually gave us a really nice hotel. Because the Prince of Bahrain put it on, and man. They did it up. I've never seen anything like it. Like, the first day was sort of like the Olympics, like a ceremonial type thing. And you had these, like, little girl dancers with these cool flags. Like, there was, like, 50 of them, man, like, just going around all three cages. And then they had a rapper who must have been well-known over there because he came out. Everybody went crazy, and that was pretty cool. Never seen anything like it for amateurs. So I'm really excited to go back, see what they do this, you know, next year.
That sounds awesome. It was funded by the Prince, right? Didn't he do that up?
Yes.
Yeah, I was joking earlier. Actually, I knew that if the Prince ever hears this, I'm so sorry for saying that.
if he does, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
No, man, I've always heard that, and I would love to experience it firsthand. That it is really, truly just a spectacle. You know, the pageantry of it all, and the whole, you know, celebration, the whole ceremonial aspect of it all is just is something else. So that's something I'd love to see myself at some time. Well, we're definitely excited to have you back in the cage this weekend, man, and see what improvements you made since last time we've seen you. And I'm going to let you have the floor to give some shout outs, give some social media direction, if you will, find out, you know, let our fans know where they can find you, and give any sponsor shout outs, all that kind of stuff.
All right. If you guys want to follow me on Instagram, it's Chase Batwell MMA. Mm-hmm. And then on Facebook, I believe it's the same thing. And then let me give a shout out to my first sponsor, or legitimate sponsor, El Sombrero here in Macon. Or I think it's in Macon. I'm pretty sure it may be on Forsyth, but let me give a shout out to them. They sponsored me, gave me a little bit of cash for this fight, so I'm a little happy about that.
Sponsors are always good. All right, this has been Chase Batwell. Again, he is your reigning and defending Valor Fights Bantamweight Champion, also two-time national champion for UMAF, getting ready to defend his title against Javier Carbajal this weekend at Valor Fights 50. We appreciate the time, Chase.
I appreciate you guys.
Up next on the line for our next interview, we have undefeated Bantamweight Javier Carbajal. Coming out of Corbin, Kentucky, the Corbin Mixed Martial Arts. He faces Chase Batwell for the Valor Fights Bantamweight title this Saturday, June the 9th at Valor Fights 50. How's it going, Javier?
Oh, it's going great, man.
We appreciate you taking a little bit of time to join us here before this fight coming up here in just a few days. For those that are not familiar with you, it's the first time you've had you on the show. If you would kind of give us a little rundown, our fans, a little breakdown of, you know, your background. I know you're a decorated wrestler, but just kind of fill everyone in on, you know, your background leading up to this fight, how you got into training MMA.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so my first experience with combat sports, I did a little bit of karate back when I was younger. But that didn't fill my need, so I went on to wrestle in high school. And just wrestled all of high school, placed third in the state of Florida, and then moved on and wrestled in college. I was a national qualifier in college. Didn't quite place and become an American like I wanted to. I had some family issues and other things going on. But yeah, I had a pretty successful college career. I went on to coach at the local high school here as assistant. Had pretty good success with that. Within that time, I also started training with Scott Hope, Corbin Martial Arts, and then I've been there ever since, and it's been a great environment. I like Coach Scott, the way he trains, his mentality on fighting. It's just been a great experience, and I always wanted to do just some kind of combat, MMA kind of style kind of stuff, and Scott Hope was just the man. He put my foot in the door, and now we're taking off.
Scott Hope owns one of the craziest knockouts, you know, that we've seen. Well, actually, I guess it wasn't a knockout. It ended up being a submission. Well, the knockout on Border Wars last year, it's one of the craziest, you know, the craziest ones we've ever had. So definitely kind of a legend of the area, Scott Hope. And I'll correct myself. It's Corbin Martial Arts. I don't think it's Corbin Mixed Martial Arts. It's just Corbin Martial Arts. So, of course, Scott kicks my ass. So you've got a big one coming up this weekend, man. You're fighting Chase Batwell.
You're coming off a win over Randall Austin at Valor 49 that you won by decision. Utilize your wrestling there quite a bit. And so it's no secret, you know, that you've got the wrestling background. That's one of your big strengths. How do you see this matchup with Chase Batwell playing out? He's a guy that, you know, he's only 19 years old, but he's already had 8 fights, a lot of international competition. He just debuted in March of last year, but has stayed very busy. He's taken just a fought every month, or, you know, doing tournament style where you're competing, you know, multiple times in a weekend, and he's had 8 fights already. So, you know, while you're, you know, have more experience as far as, you know, life goes in college and whatnot, he has 4 times as many MMA fights as you. What's your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the fight. Excited for another challenge, you know. Like you said, it's no secret. I'm going to go in there, and my wrestling background, I'm going to use it. You know, if I don't use it, I'll be an idiot. I got to use my wrestling. I've been doing it for 15 years. It's what I'm good at. And I just mixing it in with my punches. You know, in my last fight, I did a lot of takedowns. It was working, you know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, I was taking him down. I was laying him up and just taking it back down again. It was easy. And towards the end, I got a little tired, but I've trained a little more and my condition has become a little better. That last fight, I kind of took it off the couch, a month training and taking that fight. I had more time to condition myself better in this fight, and just excited for the challenge. And I really don't know much about Chase. I know that he's young. Doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned with what he's gonna do. I go in there and gonna implement my game plan and just impose my will.
Hey, man. Hey, this is Alan Poole. What's up, brother?
How's it going?
Hey, man. This is kind of related to the takedown talk. I always wondered what it'd be like to be married to, like, a female fighter, right? And so I'm wondering, like, if you guys get in, like, a verbal altercation, does she immediately shoot for the takedown, or can you stuff her takedowns pretty easily? How does that go?
To preface, everyone, Javier is married to KMA, female fighter, Carmen Malagro.
Oh, yeah. So that might have helped if I had prefaced that. Yeah. So since you're married to a badass, right, for all you listeners out there, to a badass, I'm just wondering how the arguments go down.
Well, luckily we don't argue too much. There is arguments, but we don't resort to taking each other down. But we do practice a lot together. We have a garage all padded up, so if there's ever any anger there, we take it out in our padded walls. And it's always it's good having her around, having a good trade partner, training ideas on different skills, and you know, she's very talented, and she's the one that started doing it maybe before I did. She started doing it, and I seen that it looked so much fun, and I was like, I gotta get into this. So she's inspiration to me, and she motivates me every day.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we're definitely excited to have you this weekend, man. Like I said, it's a quick turnaround after you just fought on Valor 49 in June. So quick turnaround. You didn't take any damage from what I can gather in that fight, though. So this will be another great test. I'm excited to strap one of you guys up with one of these nice white belts. And I know that you guys will provide a great amateur main event. I'm going to give you a chance to give some shout-outs where they are due. If you got any love for anybody you want to give some shout-outs, or let us know where we can follow you on social media, et cetera, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you. So I'll give a couple shout-outs to my team, Corbin. Michael Douglas, he's also fighting on this card. He's going to do fantastic. We train with each other all the time, and he's a fantastic partner. I'll give a shout-out to Gina Gooding, another fighter in our gym. And also everybody else that just I train with at Corbin Martial Arts, and especially my coach. I'm going to also give a shout-out to my family. They take a big part in this. I have a little daughter, and they take care of her and able to provide babysitting whenever I need it, and so I can make time for my training. You know, give also a shout out to all my training partners over in Cumberland. I have a big wrestling background, and I sharpen my skills here at the university, pretty much 3 times a week. And also you guys, thanks for having me on the card and letting me fight for this title. Appreciate it.
Once again, this has been Javier Carvajal. He is going to be in our amateur main event going for the Valor Fights
bantamweight strap this Saturday. Valor Fights 50 goes down June 9th at the International in Knoxville. Thanks again for the time, Javier.
That's no problem. You have a good day.
All right. Rounding out our interviews tonight, we have Van Hickman, the new cage announcer for Valor Fights. It's wholesale changes around here lately. Van Hickman, the new announcer for Valor Fights. Thank you for joining us tonight, man.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. I wanted to take this time to kind of introduce you a little bit to our fans and our listeners out there. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, I know that you also moonlight as doing some comedy as well. Give us a little bit of your backstory.
Well, I'll tell you the short story of how I got into doing the cage announcing stuff. The crazy thing, I ended up on some guy's email list probably like 12 years ago, and I'll do this really fast. I won't give you the whole 12 years, but somehow I get on this guy's email list, and he's teaching classes on how to do stand-up comedy, and I thought that would be really cool, but I never did it. For about 5 years, I get this guy's emails. Finally, one day, I say, what the heck? I take the class. Next thing I know, I'm on stage. I'm doing comedy shows. I've performed at Zany's and a few other places here in Nashville. Some of the some pretty cool clubs in Tennessee and Alabama and Kentucky and then all of a sudden, one of my comedy friends says, "Hey, I do video for an amateur kickboxing event here in Nashville, and at Pound for Pound Gym with Bernard Robinson." And he's like, "So, would you be interested in doing the ring announcing?" So I sent in a little audio clip for an audition, and they selected me. And next thing I know, I'm doing fights for other places. And my second fight that I ever did was for Warriors Den in Dixon, Tennessee, which is where one of your main event fighters is from. And
James Conway.
Yeah. Then. Angel Fight Promotions up in Clarksville, Tennessee, brought me in and did a couple of fights for them. And that's where I started doing, finally getting into the pro MMA. And that all started early last year and just really enjoying it.
Well, like I said, we're definitely excited to have you as part of the Valor team coming up this weekend in Knoxville. It's our 50th show, so, it's going to be a special night for all of us. It's a really, really good card. And like you said, James Conway coming out of the Middle Tennessee area, you'll be familiar with him. And so we're really excited to get you in the cage for us. Talk a little bit about some of the differences, I guess, between, announcing and versus stand-up comedy. Is there one that you prefer over the other? I got to give you props for doing stand-up comedy because that takes some balls. It really does. And, for anyone to get up there and put themselves out there like that, that is, that's macho to me, honestly. And, props there.
The first really big difference is with stand-up comedy, you practice, you practice, you practice. You get up in front of people at these seedy little dive bars, and you practice some more. And then one day, 2 years into it, somebody finally pays you $20 to tell jokes. With the cage announcing, somebody says, "Hey, Van, we need you to do announce a fight for us next weekend." Yeah, you get paid the first day. So that's
that's true. And that's your script's already written for you.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to write. You don't have to come up with names for the fighters. It's all right there. So, and comedy. I'll tell you the first time I did ring announcing, and I was just really really heavy into the comedy stuff and had kind of a routine going, and it was tax season and one of the tax preparation companies that had their big commercials on the television constantly was talking about, don't just get your taxes done, get your taxes won. And so I'm here at this kickboxing event and I start to do my introductions and I'm like, okay, we're brought to you by so-and-so tax preparation service here in Nashville. Don't just get your taxes done, get your taxes kicked in the head. And the crowd just sat there and stared at me. So I thought, okay, big difference. This crowd is not here to laugh. They are here to watch people get punched.
Well, very good. Ed, my man, you got anything for Van?
What do you think about when you're up there in the cage and the spotlight's on you, Van?
You know, what I think about is wow, this is so cool. I get to talk into a microphone. And so, I do the stand-up comedy, the cage announcing. I'm getting into voiceover work for, like, commercials and things like that to be the voice of a commercial. And I used to be a singer when I was much, much, much younger. So I've pretty much just, like, I love to hear myself talk, apparently. And I love to have a microphone. And so that's what I'm thinking of. Just, this is so cool. Don't screw up and say the wrong name. You know, those types of thoughts go through my head too. Don't announce the wrong fight, and at the end of the fight, don't say the red corner won if it was supposed to be the blue. Those thoughts definitely go through my head.
Well, man, we appreciate the time. We're excited to see what you can do this weekend in the Valor Cage. Again, this has been Van Hickman. He is going to make his debut as the new Valor Cage announcer this Saturday night at the International in Knoxville. Be sure you check him out. Van, if you want to let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, so we can make sure everybody is keeping up with you there. And if you've got any other shout outs you want to give, I'll give the floor to you.
Yeah, I've tried to make it pretty easy. All my social media is Van Hickman VO for voiceover. So it's Van Hickman VO on Twitter, Instagram, which I'm not as active on. And I think even in Facebook, I'm Van Hickman VO. My website, vanhickman.com, is under construction because it was designed when I was doing stand-up comedy really heavy. And so I'm in the process of changing that over for the live event announcing and voiceover work. But it does exist, so feel free to check that out as well.
Once again, this has been Van Hickman, the new voice of Valor Fights. We will see him again this weekend. Thanks again for the time, Van.
Yes, sir. See you Saturday.
You know, there are a lot of young guys listening to our show, but there are lots of older gentlemen in our audience as well, right, Tim?
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've got something that might be of interest to them and their partners, too. Tim, I know this doesn't apply to you, Mark. Obviously not, but there's a new way for you to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bedroom. That is BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue of the sky, BlueChew.com. They offer the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's the real deal. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach after a nice meal. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a chalky counterpart, so you can be ready whenever the mood strikes or the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, believe it or not. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code VALOR for Valor Fights. Just pay $5 shipping. Use our promo code VALOR at BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a better, faster, cheaper choice for that market, and we thank them for sponsoring our show. Tim, before we everyone makes their picks, can you give us an update on where the standings are at this week?
Yes, sir. We're going into the final event of the quarter. Again, our prize sponsored by Dustin Cobble, Tennessee Top Roller. Thanks to those guys. Going into our final event, we had picks last week, and the Sawyer Rich and Allen Poole both go 7-1 out of 8 possible. So really good week for Sawyer and Allen. Billy Swanson goes 6-2. Mark Wallace 5-3. Jeff Hobbs, a meager 4-4 to bring us to our overall standings, if you will, going into our final event here again with 29 possible picks. Billy Swanson holds a lead at 22-7. Allen Poole only one behind him at 21-8. Sawyer Rich and Mark Laws tied at 20-9. And then Jeff Hobbs 18-11, still anybody's game here. So, you know, with 11 to pick tonight, it's still feasible for anybody to win. We'll see if Billy can hold it as a lead.
Tim, you quit lying to these men. It is not anyone's game. I just wrapped up and it's in the bag.
Whatever.
Billy says it's over.
You're going to lose, homie.
Is that Billy?
That's Big Sexy.
Dude, Billy, I'm like one behind you, dude. I know you're fearing it. I know you're fearing it.
He's just always
like,
got a dude behind him.
You're fearing it like you fear my double leg takedown.
All right, boys.
All right, let's dive into it.
Let's kick it off. Featherweight kickboxing action will open up Valor 50 on Saturday night. Caleb Spangler, 0-1, taking on Zachariah Hammock, 3-0. Who you got, Tim?
All right, you know, this is our only kickboxing bout of the whole night, you know, so it's all MMA from there, and it's juniors here, and they're both Shield Systems kids. So, you know, we saw Caleb Spangler make his debut at Valor 49 at the Shed. He lost to Levi Giese, but he's put together. You know, he's a strapping kid, and looks like a young man, you know. So he'll be looking to get his first win, but he's taking on Zach Hammock, who is 3-0 and has looked really good. Also coming off a win that same night at the Shed, he beat I believe it was C.J. Wimberly from Patriot. So he is on a roll and undefeated. You know, we had a hard time matching up these guys with any of the other teams in the area. So they really wanted to fight, so they're going to fight each other. So, again, you got Caleb Spangler and Zach Hammock, both from Shield Systems, and I'll let the panelists decide.
Billy, who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Hammock on this one. The other guy fought DC from our gym, and he was, you know, a tough competitor, but I'm definitely going to go with 3-0 record on this one.
Alan, how do you respond?
Well, like I always say, if you go undefeated, he's 3-0. You got to give me some reason to doubt you, and he hasn't given me a reason to doubt him. So I'm going with Hammock on this one.
Sawyer, are you picking the upset?
No, I'm going to keep it same flow, and I'm going to pick Hammock. I don't think he goes 4-0.
Jeff, who you got?
Well, I have to follow the crowd on this one. I think just 3-0 record right now is just going to be too much. But I will say, at first when I saw, okay, Shield Systems, and yeah, it's going to be a sparring match here. I was surprised while we were doing the locker room assignments. I talked to Tim and then called out to Shield Systems, and hell no, they want separate locker rooms. They're running for real.
Heck yeah.
They're running. They're separating. Pre-fight, and Tim, I have to talk to you about corner passes, but they got each their own corners, and they're going in separate locker rooms, so I don't think this is just glorified sparring this night, but I'm going Hammock.
It is a good fight.
Mark, are you going to be the contrarian, or are you going with the crowd on this one?
Man, I'm going to go with Hammock on this one, man. He's a little bit too much, a little too big, a little too much.
All right, so that's 5-0. We got a clean sweep. 5-0 for Zach Hammock. And we'll see if Caleb Spangler can prove the panelists wrong. It has been done before.
First MMA match of the night, Troy Dickerson makes his debut against Logan Wolf in flyweight amateur action. Logan's 1-0. Tim, who do you have in this one?
You know, this is two young flyweights. We saw Logan Wolf make his debut at Strikefest just about a month ago. He won really quickly and didn't have a whole lot of resistance there. The younger brother of Chris Wolf, as we've covered in the past, KMAA, he and Chris Wolf kind of run their Pigeon Forge branch. So he's got good wrestling, and both these guys are pretty tall and lean at 125. Troy Dickerson, also, and he's every bit of 5'10", 5'11", I believe. I don't know much else about him other than he's pretty tall and he's from Clinton, and he's not competed before. So, you know, he's going to be the test for Logan Wolf to see if he keeps rolling or not, or if Troy Dickerson comes out and starts to make his own run.
Mark, who do you got in this one?
I'm definitely leaning towards Logan Wolf. No, I don't know a lot about these guys, but I do remember Logan Wolf, and yeah, I'm definitely taking him.
Jeff, what about you?
I'm going to have to follow lead on this one. Again, everybody knows my my thoughts on independent fighters, and then especially independent fighters going up against established gyms like KMAA. So I'm leaning towards Wolf on this one as well.
Sawyer, Logan.
I'm gonna go ahead and have to pick Wolf on this one as well. I just think that he's gonna have a lot of momentum behind him and confidence, and he's gonna get it done.
Alan, are you gonna go against the crowd here?
No, I'm not. I'm going with Wolf.
Billy, what about you? Are you gonna make a bold move and choose Troy here?
No, I'm not making the bold move. I'm just really regretting sending my picks in the group earlier.
You were the last one to send them. You were the last one to send them, at least.
All right. Third fight of the night, second MMA bout, 150-pound catchweight action. Silas Reynolds, 1-0, takes on Bud Cook, looking for the first win, 0-3 currently. Tim, how do you see this one playing out?
You know, we haven't seen honestly a whole lot of Silas Reynolds. What we did see was very impressive. He debuted in January at the Coliseum at Valor 47, I guess. So he knocked out Justin Winchester, and it was stellar. It was on the prelims, but it was you can probably can't find it on YouTube. It was beautiful, really. It was just an awesome knockout. And he's training with Shield Systems there. Ben Harrison and those guys will have him prepared, I'm sure, taking on Bud Cook, who is, like you said, looking for his first win. This will be his fourth fight, so he's got more cage experience than Silas. He comes all the way from Wilmington, North Carolina. He's got a good haul in front of him. He sent me pictures of himself of a few days earlier, and he, you know, showing that he's already on weight. This will be the lowest he's fought. I will say, Bud has fought as heavy as like 170. He shouldn't have been fighting as that high, but so he's been outsized in most of his fights. And at 150, he's shredded right now. He looks like he's in great shape. So I anticipate this being a more ideal weight class for Bud Cook. We'll see if that translates to any success against Silas Reynolds.
Billy, does Bud get his first win on Saturday night?
No, honestly, man, I think Shield Systems is definitely a good gym. That, you know, they've got good people popping out of there, and it's just very difficult for an independent fighter who is not training with high level people to have success against somebody who is. So I'm definitely going with Silas.
Sawyer, do you think Bud gets it done this weekend?
No, man, I'm going to go ahead and pick Silas on this one. He's got a good game and a good game play behind him, and he's going to get the win.
Alan, how do you see this one playing out?
I've been around Silas. Yeah, I haven't been with Silas yet. He hasn't opened up to me yet. But
God, this is going downhill real quick.
No, I actually know Silas well enough to say that, I think. But I don't know. He'll punch me in the face.
Words.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm going with that guy. I'm going with Silas. And, yeah, I'm not saying anything else.
Mark, you going with the crowd here?
Of course, man. Silas, I want to see Bud Cook get it done as much as anybody. I spent an exorbitant amount of time with the man. But, man, I think Silas is going to be too much for him Saturday.
Jeff, I guess we can probably tell based on your thoughts on independent fighters. Are you going to surprise us here with your pick?
Yeah, no. Hell no, I'm not surprised. Not only is he independent, he's 0-3 independent. Shit ain't worked out yet, and he still ain't fixed it. So I'm going with Silas Reynolds from Shield.
All right, so now we've got another clean sweep there for That's three clean sweeps in a row. Logan Wolf was also 5-0. Silas Reynolds 5-0. So, you know, with first three fights, it is we won't get any separation in our pick so far. But we'll see if any of these underdogs can prove us wrong. And, you know, as our tradition, if any of these underdogs get voted 5-0 and they pull off the upset, then we owe them an interview next week. So the guys will have to eat their words.
Third MMA fight of the night, amateur lightweight action. Josh Lewis makes his debut against Chase Price. He's looking to improve to 2-0. Tim, what's your read on this one?
This one is when shit starts getting real. It's gonna be a good one. This is the debut for Josh Lewis. Chase Price is already 1-0. He debuted in Nashville and got a Von Flew choke against Derek Levasseur. Very, very tall, lanky, lightweight. Trains with Keith Olsen. He's a grappling specialist. Josh Lewis out of the North Georgia High Stand group there in Dalton, trained by Nala Wachuga. He is the brother of David Lewis. If our listeners may be familiar with him, he is been around on the Valor scene for quite some time. And Josh Lewis is a guy that, it's his MMA debut, but he is not a typical debut. He is a guy that's already, 6-0, 7-0 in kickboxing, a very decorated high school wrestler, a current high school wrestling coach. He just hasn't fought MMA yet. So this one's going to be a war. This one's going to be really good.
Sawyer, who comes out on top in this one?
It's and actually, this is a tough fight to call. This is a super this is one of, like you said, this is where it starts getting tough to call all fights, and I mean, all these from here on out are really, really close. So I'm gonna go with Padilla, is that his name?
No, we're on Josh Lewis and Chase Price.
Well, you know I'm picking for the next round. It's fucking asshole. So. I'm going with Price.
That, there's no option C, Sawyer Balls. Love you, Sawyer Balls.
Sawyer, did you ever make a pick?
I don't think he ever made a pick.
I did. I picked Price.
Oh, you picked Chase Price?
Yeah,
for no reason other than just because.
I mean, for no reason other than to
like that Von Flew.
You fucker. All right, I'm going.
He's definitely beating off.
All right, so Sawyer's got Chase Price.
He's on them blue chews, son.
Jeff, who you got in this one?
I got Chase Price as well.
All right, Jeff Hobbs has got Chase also. That's two.
Billy, you going with the crowd on this one?
Well, honestly, I wish I would have known, more about Josh Lewis before I made my pick before this. But, that's quite an extensive record in kickboxing. And I didn't know, he had all the wrestling knowledge that he has, but my pick.
We'll let you change, Billy.
Billy Swanson is Chase Price. All right, it's three.
Alan, what's your take?
Hey, who had the connection to Levasseur?
Chase Price is who Von Flew to Levasseur in Nashville.
Okay, so I have to go with Chase Price. And he's got really 1 degree of separation from Levasseur. That's all I need.
That's four.
Mark, what do you say?
Oh, these guys don't know jack shit. I know about them Lewis boys already, man. Lewis gets this shit done. He gets it done efficiently and nastily. He's a fucking world-class wrestler with fucking striking. Are you shitting me? He's definitely winning.
Which one?
Lewis.
Damn.
Mark there makes it 4-1, and there could be a move made in our standings potentially.
Dumb crackers.
If Josh Lewis can pull this off, it's going to be a good fight because they're both very skilled guys, both very good grapplers. I think ultimately the difference may be in the striking, and we don't know about Chase Price's striking yet. We haven't really seen much of that, but he is very tall and rangy and long, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a badass striker. So, you know, I think it's going to be really good.
Moving on to the people's main event of the card, Frankie Padilla makes his long-awaited, highly anticipated debut at the age of 46 against Sam McAlpin, who after four fights is still looking for his first victory. Tim, what's your read on this?
Oh, yeah, we're all excited for this. Frankie Padilla, the OG Frankie Padilla, Frankie's Body Shop and Conditioning, KMAA, repping Knoxville, California, all points in between.
Ice cream?
Yeah, he's excited, man, and he's got a lot of support behind him. Yeah, he's a strength and conditioning coach for so many of these KMAA athletes, and now he's jumping into the mix himself. And he's taking on Sam McAlpin, who we haven't seen him compete since he fought our panelist, Billy, Big Sexy Billy Swanson, over a year ago, I guess.
It's been a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been a while. So,
that's a habit. I just retire people.
Billy thought he retired. Maybe he did for a moment, but Sam is ready to get back in there. You know, he told me that he had pretty much just kind of rolled off the couch and taken his other fights and never really trained too seriously. But for this one, he has trained seriously for it. He's put in a camp. His protege, Trevor Peak, we saw him fight at Valor 49, and he's a very exciting fighter. And, you know, so if he's got that guy beating on him, he's probably has been getting some work. So, you know, Sam is, you know, real good guy. Both these guys, real nice guys. And Sam is going out there looking to get a win. It's important for Sam to get a win here, too. You know, he's not coming in here to lay down to Frankie. He wants to get a win, and he's about to begin promoting his own shows here in July. So, you know, I'm excited to see these the big guys throw down here.
Billy, with your insider information, how do you see this fight playing out?
Man, honestly, it kind of reminds me of when old Justin Gooden came to Saudi. I think this man is about to walk into a coliseum filled with Frankie Padilla's henchmen, we'll say, since he's the OG. And I think that's just going to be too much. I mean, you're coming to Knoxville in the guy's hometown where everybody knows him and he trains everybody with him for a long time. I just don't think, I like Sam, but I don't think he's going to be able to pull this one out.
Jeff?
So, Phil, for Frankie. Who's that? Jeff,
me. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know Frankie, other than just kind of seeing him passing by at the last weigh-ins and stuff. But he definitely reminds me of one of those. He reminds me of somebody that belongs in a home game at the Los, you know, the Raiders out there in the Raider Nation. That's what he reminds me of. Some, you know, San Diego Cholo going to stab somebody. I'm with Big Sexy on this one, man. I think just the arena, the atmosphere, his first time out, his people being there, supporting him, his entire clientele, I'm sure, is going to be there. So I imagine Sam McAlvin's going to have to kill Frankie Padilla to get a win. So I'm going with Frankie.
Alan, do you think there's any way all this pressure has the opposite effect on Frankie and we see an upset here?
It's funny that you asked that question, because I was down at Frankie's body shop today, and I was talking with Nick Gertz, and I was like, are you guys, like, you know, prepping him mentally? And like, I didn't even get the words out for his daughter. He goes, oh, he's fine. Like, this is just another day for him. He gets nervous about us, but for himself, he can't wait. So he's iced out and inside. And I just wanted to say another thing about Frankie. He's 46, right? I was skateboarding with him this week. Like, I'm not joking. Like, he's oddly athletic. Like, it's a strange combination to see someone that he's like a gorilla walking around, like mixed with an acrobat or something. I'm going with Frankie on this one.
Alan, I got a question. Do you go skating with everyone?
I skated with your mom last night.
Was it rollerblades or on an actual skateboard?
No, it was a longboard. California, like a California style longboard.
That's what I heard too.
I've got a long board.
I heard it's a really long board.
Lord help us.
That's right. I was, well, wait a minute.
He was catching, not giving.
Tim, what are your thoughts
that's,
on
that? That's why you're talking about his agility. That's why you're talking about Frank's agility.
I don't know where this is going.
You guys are so dirty.
That's three. It's three now for Frankie.
Tim, before we move on, what are your thoughts on Frankie skateboarding the week of the fight? Is that kind of something that you don't want to hear as a promoter?
I don't even tell me those things right now.
Sawyer.
Not now.
I'm playing out.
Yeah, I think that everybody's kind of got it out with Frankie Padilla. He's got he's going to be in his hometown debuting. He's probably going to have a shitload of people there, and it may help his nerves. I think it's going to get done.
Mark, looking at possibly two future opponents, how do you see this fight playing out?
Man, I love me some Sam McAlpin, dude. That guy's a stud. By the way, come out to Rainsville, Alabama, July 14th for AFC, Alabama Fighting Championship. Be a hell of a show. By the way, I don't think he gets past Frankie Padilla, though. And I got to put my faith in Big Frank, the OG.
So that's 5-0 for Frankie. Another sweep there as Sam McAlpin will try to prove the panelists wrong. But it's a 5-0 sweep there for Frankie. So far, only the Josh Lewis and Chase Price fight with any chance for movement. I think we'll start getting some more split views on these next few.
Well, I don't know about this next one. Joe Buher makes his debut. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Makes his debut in welterweight amateur action against Greg Hopkins, who's trying to improve to 5-0. Tim, what are your thoughts on this fight?
This is an interesting one. It's not as lopsided as it may appear. Greg Hopkins, of course, had a great 2017 in some regards. He was undefeated. He went 3-0 and had some big knockouts. Won an amateur title, knocked out Paco Maris. Got a win on the Worlds Collide show as well. And, that was after coming back from like 7 years inactivity. You know, Greg had debuted like a long time ago and won and then took like 7 years off and came back and got on a roll. 4-0 now. Still independent-ish. He's not a typical independent. He's got a very good high school wrestling background, but oddly enough, has great boxing. And you don't see a lot of his wrestling in his fights. He just knocks guys out. It hasn't really committed to a gym. He's still technically kind of an independent guy, but he does get around and get work in, I know, with the Killer Bees and some other gyms. I know Joe Buher. Is making his debut, but he is trained for 7 years and is a purple belt in BJJ. He is the head instructor at Total Self Defense Academy in Kingsport, and he's a Gracie purple belt and looks like he's pretty yoked up. So I don't think he's going to be your typical debut opponent. I think he has got plenty of grappling experience over the years and looks like he's in great shape and didn't bat an eye at taking this fight against a guy that's already 4-0.
Jeff, are you going to bite the bullet and take the independent-ish fighter, Greg Hopkins, at 4-0?
I am, just because of the ish factor. Like Tim said, I know he's not training out of a garage. He may not have committed to a gym, but he does get work in at some reputable gyms with reputable training partners. So, I'm going with the ish on this one, and I'm going with Greg Hopkins.
Mark?
Man, Greg Hopkins knocks guys dead. I'd be stupid not to pick that guy. I'm taking Hopkins. It's just too much.
Alan?
So there's a guy named Booyah. Am I right?
Close. It's Booher.
Booyah. I'm going with Booyah.
Joe Buher for Allen. All right, Allen making a move potentially here, and only one behind Billy. This could be some separation.
Will it be separation? How are you seeing this one, Billy?
I'm going Greg. I've trained with Greg before. I just honestly, I mean, Greg's a tough guy. No matter how bad you beat on him, I mean, he'll keep coming at you. So, I mean, I think Joe Buer is going to have to put him to sleep in order to, you know, in order to win this fight. And I don't see Greg going to sleep.
Sawyer?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the majority here, and I think Hopkins is mean, and it's real hard, and I think he's going to be headhunting. He's probably going to get the KO, so I'm picking Hopkins.
Next up, Louis Crowley told me that he's eyeing a title shot in the next year. He's going to try to improve to 3-0 first against Mike Douglas, who's 5-5 in lightweight amateur action. Tim, what's your read on this one?
I'm of the notion that these next two fights that we're going to talk about are going to shape up how our 155, which is our vacant 155 title picture, kind of starts to take shape, I think, with these next two fights. I think that, you know, the winners coming out of these next two will be on, you know, a hot streak and could potentially be, you know, aligned for that title. So, you know, on this this next one here, Mike Douglas, this is the first time he's fought for Valor. Technically, he was on the Border Wars show with Warrior last year, and he lost on that show, actually, though, I think, to Jared King. It was a Kentucky versus Kentucky kind of weird-ish fight. But although, honestly, Mike is from Jellicoe, Tennessee, actually, which is right on the line. I mean, Jellicoe is like the last town that you pass in Tennessee before you get to Kentucky. And so he is affectionately known as Jellicoe Mike Douglas. He is 5-5, and so he's got, without a doubt, the most experience that anyone that Logan Crowley has seen. He trains with Scott Hope at Corbin Martial Arts. I believe he is a blue belt, and he's pretty tall and long and just a pretty big 155er. Logan Crowley is a guy that's just kind of hit the scene here in the past few months. Already 2-0, debuted on Strikefest with an upset win over Julius Bowling in their main event in his hometown. Then comes back to Valor 49, gets knocked out of the night over Cody Sprague. This guy, he cut his mullet, which was disappointing to say the least, but he still got that ginger kind of just mean streak. He's a real nice guy, don't get me wrong, but like when he gets in the cage, he is in there to fucking scrap, you know? So this is kind of an interesting clash of styles. It's without a doubt the toughest test that that Logan Crowley will have faced today. We'll see if he can pass it.
Sawyer, are you going with the unbeaten upstart or the 10-fight vet?
Man, it's hard for me to pick against Crowley with the momentum he's got behind him, and I like him all around. I think he's a likable guy. I think he's mean as shit. I think that's the biggest thing going for him. I mean, he wants to kick your ass, and that's, I mean, he wants to hurt you bad, and that's it. He's gone. So, for him, I think that, you know, it makes you nervous. So, I hope he gets a win, and I'm picking Crowley.
Mark, what's your read on this one?
I got to pick Crowley on this one. That guy comes to do business, man. I like him.
Billy?
Oh, yeah. Corbin Martial Arts already hates me. Time to make him hate me a little bit more.
No.
I'm going with Crowley because, you know what, I hate Corbin Martial Arts and all the people associated with it. So, fuck them.
So, Billy, Crowley just put that out there.
Yeah, let's go put that out in the air, yeah.
Hey, I'm putting that out in the air because I don't give a shit who hears it.
Lord.
Nothing personal, though, right?
No, nothing personal. I hope they have a nice day. Nice day in hell.
Jeff, how do you follow that up?
Well, I ride or die with Corbin Martial Arts, goddammit. So, no, I have no clue who they are. I was going to ask what Jellicoe even meant. I don't know. It's pretty cool now, though, because I was going to go by Nashville Jeff. So,
Nashville,
yeah, that's it. I'm going to go Mike Douglas, though.
Alan?
Yeah, oh, nice. Jeff Hobbs making a little move here with Mike Douglas.
Got to.
Got
Jellicoe.
To.
Alan, how do you see this one playing out?
Well, you know, I have met Logan. He's a fellow ginger. And like, you know, everyone, especially someone like Billy, he knows the fear of gingers with cameras. You can't go against a ginger, not in a fight. I mean, shit. All right. So, we're going Logan Crowley.
Up next, 160-pound amateur catchweight action. Joseph Long tries to improve to 3-0 against late injury replacement Chase Wender, 13-fight vet, trying to climb to 500, 7-7. Tim, what are you looking at here?
You know, this is, like you said, it's a last minute replacement. It was supposed to originally be Joseph Long and Caleb Miller, which that fight is just one of those that maybe it's just not meant to be. We tried to make that a few times, and the first time Joseph had to pull, and this time Caleb had to pull. So luckily, Chase Wender, his teammate at KMAA, has stepped in. Quite a bit more experience. Chase Wender coming in with, you know, 13 fights. Just in MMA, he's got some kickboxing experience as well. But, you know, Chase has been around a long time. Chase has been around for, you know, at least 5-6 years, maybe more. And Joseph Long, one of the prospects coming out of American Killer Bees in Cleveland, and he's 2-0. He's, you know, got some kickboxing titles as well. So, you know, this is a big step up for him. There's no doubt that Chase will be his toughest opposition to date as far as MMA goes. And so, you know, Chase taking this spot on short notice, that kind of evens out the playing field as far as the experience goes. And also, you know, Chase has fought it. You know, I don't know that Chase could ever get to 35 now, but he has fought, you know, a few years back as low as 35. So there could be a little size advantage for Joseph Long potentially. I think it's going to be a fun, exciting fight because both these guys are all action, you know, come forward, you know, go for the finish type fighters.
Billy, I guess it's safe to assume that you're probably going with your teammate, Joseph Long, here. So I'll just ask you, how do you see him finishing this knockout, submission, three-round war? How's he going to take this one home?
Well, one, it shouldn't, contrary to the MMA record, it's not as lopsided as it looks. You know, Joseph's only 2-0 in MMA, but he's 7-1 in kickboxing, well, kickboxing and Muay Thai combined. And his only loss has came in the semifinals of the World Tournament last year in Muay Thai. So, I mean, Joseph's competed at a high level, and, I mean, the reality of it is I'm definitely going with my boy Joseph on this one. I think that Joseph, I mean, his hands are like bricks, and I think Wender's going to feel that. He's going to try and get the takedown. Joseph's going to defend it, and then Joseph's going to sleep his ass.
Alan, are you going to try to make a move here to overtake Billy, or are you going with Long as well here?
Well, man, I really like both of these fighters, and it's like if I pick either one, the other person's going to be like, how the fuck could you possibly pick the other person? Like, I feel like I kind of have like a weird relationship with them, and not the way that you guys wish. But like a normal man, like, man, whatever. So anyway, now I'm going to have to go with proximity. So therefore, Cosby, the roofie, the roofinator, I'm going with Joseph Long.
Jeff, how do you see this one playing out?
I think I've picked against Long before, and it bit me in the ass. and I really like the way the kid fights, honestly. Even when you think he's down and out, he stays the course, stays with his instruction from his corner and his training, and it's worked out for him. So I'm not doing it again. I'm going with Long on this one.
Mark, who you got?
I'm going with Joseph Long. He is one of the top five toughest dudes I've ever met in my life, man. That son of a bitch is tough as nails.
Sawyer, Chase, or Joseph on this one?
It would take a whole lot for me to pick against Joseph Long. He's got his stand up. I think he's tough as shit. He keeps his calm and composure. He does everything correctly. You know, at this point, as an amateur, and he's awesome to watch. I think he's gonna get it done.
The main event of the amateur portion of the night pits Chase Boatwell defending his Valor Fights bantamweight championship against Javier Carbajal. Chase is 7-1, got a lot of experience. Javier is 2-0 with a lot of experience outside the cage. Tim, what's important to look at here?
I think, you know, it's going to come down to Javier's wrestling. You know, Javier, there is no doubt that his bread and butter is his wrestling. Decorated collegiate wrestler. Not as experienced as Chase as far as MMA goes, but has, you know, just a lifetime of experience in competition. The question I think it will come down to is it good enough? Is his wrestling good enough, as it has been in his past couple of fights, to contain Boutwell, who is most likely the more well-rounded fighter? Or is it, you know, can he grind him out, you know, for two of the three rounds? So it's, I think on paper, it looks like Boutwell is, a pretty heavy favorite. But at the end of the day, they say styles make fights. And Javier has, I'm not saying he's a one-trick pony, the one trick that we know he's got is very good.
Sawyer, do you think wrestling is going to be enough for Javier in this fight?
I mean, he better come and shoot hard. I think that Valor got that shot. It's going to be a long one. And so I'm going to take Valor in this one, just based on the well-roundedness. I think if he's able to set the shot, even I think he may be able to get back up too. So I think maybe he put some punches on him and slow that wrestling down.
Who you got, Mark?
I take Boutwell in this one. Feel pretty good about that.
Billy?
Do y'all smell it? That's the shit I'm about to talk.
Javier,
first off, let me retract back to the show at the shed. I didn't like Javier because the fact is I come from a wrestling background, but this isn't a wrestling match. I believe he lost his last fight against Randall Austin from Team Oxidine because Randall was beating his ass on his feet, and all he did was get takedowns to save him from being knocked out. So I believe this Saturday you will watch Chase Boutwell defend a double leg and sleep his ass within 3 minutes. Javier is going to sleep. Boutwell with KO in the first.
Jeff, how do you follow that up?
I didn't see the previous fight, so I can't necessarily agree with Billy for that reason, but I definitely agree with Billy that I think Boutwell's going to take this and take it quick. Until somebody can prove to me that kid ain't the truth, I'm going to ride with Boutwell till it happens. But if Javier wins, we're all fucked, because the only way he wins is a completely boring fight where he just holds position and just watches the clock and grinds down the seconds on the clock, man. So I'm going with Boutwell.
Alan, do you think Javier is going to turn some heads here and maybe prove us wrong? Not us. I mean, you guys.
Well, it's not hard to prove them wrong, but let me see. I have to go with Boutwell on this one. I got to watch out for Carmen now and any KMAA people. He's in Kentucky, though, right? So he doesn't count?
He technically is not KMAA.
Okay. All right.
Alan, you can call me if anyone from Corbin talks shit to you.
What?
I'll drive to Knoxville to help you out.
Billy picked, last time I saw Billy,
he picked your army against Corbin Martial Arts.
The last time I saw Billy, he picked me up, like, with my own, like, just with one arm and held me up and just carried me around. It's like, I felt like a little kid.
Who's your pick, though, Alan?
Oh, it was Boutwell?
Watch him out.
It's a clean sweep for Boutwell.
Wow.
That was Billy. That was for Billy.
Up next, co-main event, Shanna Young returns from a two-year hiatus trying to improve to 5-0 against Jennifer House Nixon, who's making her debut. Tim, how do you see this one playing out?
You know, I'm excited for this. We haven't seen Shanna Young in a while. She is honestly one of the top prospects, female prospects in the nation at 4-0. I think she's a win or two away from the UFC. She's a killer. she's good everywhere. Very experienced, current King of the Cage champion. She's returning off of a pretty good leg off, though, after surgery and an injury. So will there be cage rust? Another factor is this fight will be at featherweight. Chana is typically been fighting at 125 pounds as a flyweight versus 145 here, as she'll be taking on Jennifer Haas Nixon. And, it's hard to get anyone to fight Shannon Young. That fight was turned down by pretty much everyone within, a three-hour range, with the exception of Jennifer Haas Nixon, who makes her pro debut. She has fought some of the very best in the world as an amateur as she gets ready to make her pro debut. She had losses to Annie DiCrescente, Derek Klexa, but she had a win. Y'all know who she beat as an amateur? She beat Felicia Spencer. So that tells me right there, if anybody knows, Felicia Spencer's a badass. She's tough as fuck. Good. And she beat her. And so that right there tells me something. So, I'm excited to see how this goes down, and pro female action.
Jeff, how do you see the main or co-main event playing out?
I'm just got 2-year layoff or not. I got to go with the Shanimal. I think, I didn't know about the other girl's amateur experience, but, man, Shanna's been in there with some tough girls too. And, I think she's just going to be too much for this other girl. Sorry for making the long trip, but I don't think it's going to turn out well for the chick with the hyphenated last name.
Alan?
Yeah. If you guys want to see some really good pictures of how in shape Shanimal is, go to
Ask Granite.
MMA. Yeah, on Instagram. Just a shout out there. I knew you guys wanted to hear me shout out to myself. And
hey, Alan, anyway, did you go skating with her too?
She was there. She was there. Not gonna lie. Well, anyways, Well, anyway, so Shannon Young, like, she's like watching Jackie Chan or some shit. Like, she's amazing, man. I've seen her pin people up against the cage just with one leg and just pop 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 do Bruce Lee shit. I'm going with Shannon on this.
Mark?
Shamalama Lima ding dong for me, baby.
That's right.
Sawyer?
I'm going to keep the flow going, man. It's hard to pick against her. She's going to have a lot of hype, and she's tough as fuck, man. She's mean, so she's going to get it done.
I want to see her versus Sawyer next.
Yeah.
Sawyer's big.
She fucks Sawyer up 3 times.
Oh, we have something else to cover.
Billy, are you going with the
picture? Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm going to have to side with the picks panel on this. I didn't, just like Jeff, I didn't know that Jennifer Nixon had the extensive amateur career that she had. But, Shannon Young, I made sure to see Alan's photos the other day. So Shannon Young looks ripped, and I think she's going to come out and get another victory.
Finally, the main event. James Conway tries to improve to 3-0 and win the Valor Fights professional welterweight championship when he faces Jason King, one of the most accomplished professional fighters in the area and one of the most popular too. He's trying to improve to 6-3 and take the next step in his career as well. Tim, who do you got?
Man, I'm excited for this. This is our main event. We're going to strap up a new welterweight pro champion. So we've got a nice new belt waiting on him. And, man, I tell you what, this is this one won't suck. We've got 5 rounds here, but I don't know if we go all 5. It's these guys are hitters. James Conway's got massive power, opened up one of the worst cuts I've ever seen in January versus Jordan Weeks in Knoxville. Just gruesome, and he's got that kind of power when he gets on top and starts delivering. You know, it can be quick, you know, and it's done. Asian Persuasion, Jason King, one of the most popular guys in the area, that place is going to go bananas. When he walks out on Saturday, the place will be shaking. And, you know, he's a guy that is really, you know, come along in the past couple of years, has really, you know, turned up his strength and conditioning, has really dialed in and started living a professional fighter's lifestyle, if you will. He lives this. So, and it's shown in his past few fights. He really, had a big win that same night as James Conway. He won in the main event over Stephen Hay with a big knockout. So both these guys, I think, are going to be, I don't think we're going to see anybody looking for the takedown. I think they're going to bang. And, you know, I really actually will be surprised if it goes all five rounds, but if it does, then I think we're in for a treat, you know, if that happens. But, you know, really excited for this.
Billy, who you got?
I'm definitely, man, you know, I'm an Asian Persuasion fan. I watched him, I can't remember how long ago it was, but when he actually, I think it was when he lost his last one. And then I've watched him, you know, come back. And like Tim said, he's definitely, you can see the dedication that he's put into the past couple fight camps. And I think this is going to be no different. He's going to come and get the belt.
Sawyer, who is the next Valor Fights welterweight champion?
I think I'm going to maybe try to make a move here. I'm going to pick Conway. I'm going to go against Jason King. It's probably maybe a few moves, but I'm going to play the game here. I think that Conway hits real fucking hard. He's got a lot of draw behind him. I think he wants to win. You know, he's got that perfect record, and he's going to try to stay on a roll and get the belt. So I'm picking Conway.
Mark, how are you leaning? Mm-hmm.
Man, I got mixed feelings on this one, really. I mean, Conway is a killer, dude. When he ground and pound somebody, they don't tend to stay around too long or they're going to bleed to death. And, yeah, the only fight I've ever had stopped by a doctor. And, yeah, that guy is devastating on top of it, man. I think Jason King's going to be too much for him. And Jason King gets it done.
Jeff?
I'm going to pull a Alan Poole and spend 5 minutes telling you how I don't want to pick against a guy. I really hate – I'm kind of with Sawyer on this one. I mean, I don't want to pick against Jason King. There are so many things about James Conway. I've said it before, every time I watch him fight, I think, okay, this is going to be the one he loses. And that goes back to his amateur career. And the guy always finds a way just to tough out a win. But it's a game. I got to try to make up some room here. So I'm going with Conway as well. But I agree with everybody. It's going to be a great fight, I think.
Alan, last pick of the event. Who you got?
Yeah, Asian Persuasion. It's pretty easy for me. Jason is in crazy shape. Man, he's an animal. He's so disciplined, and he's just a good dude. I got to give it to Jason.
All right, so we got a split panel on that one. It'll be just a few fights that will kind of decide the fate of our quarterly picks panel. So we'll see how it all shakes out this weekend. Again, it is going down this Saturday, June the 9th, at the International in Knoxville. It's Power Fights 50. We crown a new welterweight champion, Jason King versus James Conway, plus a whole lot more. You can get your tickets now at events.com and also at the door on the night of the show. If there are any left, I really expect to sell out on this one. So really excited for it. We appreciate our picks panel for joining us this evening, as always, for taking the time out of their evening to give their insight on this card. And before we depart, I have a special bulletin that I've just received, and it is from Charlie Alexander.
Oh,
it is from Charlie Alexander, and it says, I know that y'all do the show on Wednesday night, so if Sawyer is on, and Sawyer is on, tell him, don't forget that he shook my hand and promised he would fight me in 2018, and it's June, and he has 6 months left, and he just wanted us to touch base on this. Sawyer.
100%, he is right. I will fight by the end of 2018, and I'm gonna have to fight Charlie Alexander. I got it. I'm a man of my word, and we're gonna give the I guess Charlie what he wants from the fans. I don't know if the fans want to see this, but yeah, sure. I don't know what is you know really deal is, but okay, dude. Yeah, we'll do it. I mean, it's not like he's pressuring me to. Being just promising to fight him, it's not like I give a fuck to fight him. I mean, I would have been matched with him. So, all right, yeah, we'll do it. It'll be the end quarter. Not sure exactly what weight we're going to do, probably a 155-er. Yeah, that's a man on the shirt, and that's
dude, what is the name of the guy? What's the name of the guy from that show? Where he's like, where he mumbles through the whole, like no one can understand what he's saying, and he's
that would be King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
That's Boomhauer.
Boom, is that?
Yeah, same right.
Dude, you didn't tell me that you had a side job, dude. How long have you been voice acting?
So, a recommitment though here, and what were you saying, Jeff?
Tim, I was just gonna say. I mean, we touched on Charlie. And without giving too much away, I know I talked to Charlie this afternoon. He is going to try to make it to Knoxville on Saturday. While he is trying to set up a fight for, like Sawyer said, later in the quarter, later in the year, the fall, maybe October or so. It sounds like by talking to you, Tim, and talking to Charlie, that we've got something more immediate coming up probably for Charlie. And hopefully he's going to be there Saturday, and the Knoxville fans will at least get rewarded for a possible face-off Saturday night and announcing a really quick upcoming show and possibly a main event or co-main event featuring Charlie. So I hope that happens Saturday night.
Yeah, me as well, man. I think that's, you know, a fight that we've got pretty much locked down that the fans will definitely be excited for, and you know, hopefully we can announce that for everyone at Valor 50 Saturday. But I promise that is one that that people will definitely be you know, happy to hear and excited to watch.
And on a side note, Tim, also I talked to my favorite East Tennessee female fighter, and that's Amy Coleman today, and we know she's coming off an injury. Yeah, I did, and we know she's coming off an injury as well, but. I kind of tossed around an idea that you and I had spoke about the other day that she was definitely interested in for also at the towards the end of the year. You know, we talked about when we're going back to the Coliseum in Knoxville, and I think we may be on to something there towards the end of the year that we might be able to run Amy Coleman back through the Valor cage towards the end of the year.
Hey, that would be a pleasure. I would love to host Amy Coleman again. Some of the best fights we've ever had featuring Amy Coleman in our cage. And Amy Coleman versus Shanna Young goes down as honestly one of the best fights we've ever had. It was awesome, and we would love to have Amy back for sure. You know, it'd be great to have her back at the Coliseum, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Well, very good, guys. Again, we appreciate everyone for taking the time for the picks panel. And, you know, again, thanks for all of our listeners out there for tuning into another episode of the Valor Hour. And make sure that you you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and also share the link on social media so we get more and more people joining in on, you know, our conversation every week. And, you know, we'll be back next week. We'll be recapping Valor 50 in next week's show. Again, I appreciate Ed Cap, my co-host, and then our panelists, of course, Jeff Hobbs, Sawyer Rich, Alan Poole, Mark Laws, and Billy Swanson. Thanks a lot, guys. And, you know, this is Tim Loy signing off for another edition of the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
is a Leveling the Playing Field quick fix on Radio Influence.
Nefertiti Walker is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the Eisenberg School of Management and Assistant Professor for the McCormick Department of Sport Management at UMass, my alma mater.
I grew up in Georgia, which has a terrible education system. I went to poor schools that, you know, the teachers are doing the best they can. So they always gave me extra work over the summer. And I remember one of my tasks, the summer before my fourth grade, was to memorize all of the states and capitals. And I mean, I was so competitive in doing that. Like I had to be, they gave me five states to do each day at maximum because they knew I would get out of control with it. I always did more. I was just so competitive in everything that I did that my parents knew that sports were for me. And my dad was a basketball junkie. So it was just very natural that I went into basketball. And I did try other sports. I tried karate. I tried softball. I did track and field. And basketball was the only one that, you know, it had my heart very early on.
Leveling the Playing Field with Bobby Sue Doyle Hazard can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.